Oh, yes, folks.
489, Graham.
I know. 489. We're knocking on 600's door with the spoiler reps. Final episode, December 12th. 600th and final episode. 10 years of doing this show. Our guest is just finding out about this by his face. Yeah.
Last time I was on, I was like episode 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah, well, we're bookending you.
Yes. I know. The last time you were on the show, this is Brian Redman, ladies and gentlemen, was in the garage. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You haven't been on since we've been doing ATC. We see you in the hallways here.
Yeah. Right.
Which is how this...
With a horrified look on your face.
Yeah. It's whatever business happens over there.
Yeah.
But yeah, we made the decision.
10 years ago.
To quit the show. We said, when we get to 10 years, we're out. Yeah, so December 12th, we're doing our final. It's live. It's going to be a Dynasty Typewriter.
Wow.
So please come by.
Oh, I will.
Anyone that's ever been on the show as well. Well, not anybody.
Yes. Yeah, so who is not allowed?
Yeah.
I want to hear names.
No, we're not going into that. They'll know.
But they know who they are.
They know
who
they are. But yeah, come by December 12th at Dynasty Typewriter. For those listening, please buy a ticket. It's our last ever live show. It's our last ever podcast, period. It'll be, 500 regular episodes and 600 and 100 spoiler reps and some more and change. So,
wow. Do you have what you're going to do after this? Or you're like, nope, I'm retiring. I'm going into
Island.
An island. Yeah, yeah. The fans have to be sad.
Yeah.
They're bummed, and we've gotten a lot of
We've let them know that we're not disappearing. We're all still going to be doing stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to still do my, lefty political nonsense. I was thinking about this, and we're going to get into Terminator, Dark Fate, in a second. When I was watching this movie, spoiler, I wasn't a fan of it, but I was like, am I going to see movies like this when I don't have to talk about them on a movie podcast? And part of me was like, I don't think so, but I will still go to the movies, and I know I'm going to see something and go, God, I want to talk about this. And so I'll find out a way to do that somehow. I don't know what if that...
Somehow, yeah. How would you possibly do it?
But I mean, will it make sense on my political podcast to talk, about some, indie movie?
Well, if it's a documentary, perhaps.
Sure. But, if it has any sort of political or social anything,
I can... So Terminator, you could have.
I could, absolutely. I'll just tie anything into...
Yeah.
of a movie like Yesterday, Beatles.
Yeah.
I'll just talk about, the implications of the Beatles and capitalism or something like that. I'll weave it in there.
I am sure there would be a way to get your opinion on film out there somehow.
But anyway, to our fans who have been emailing us and who are bummed we're leaving.
Much appreciated.
Much appreciated. And seriously, December 12th, Dynasty Typewriter. The show's going to go from 8 to about 10:30. We're going to have on as many guests that have been on the show that can come by. Mm-hmm. And then we're having a party afterwards. So Brian and anyone out there, come by.
Yeah.
And I did want to say this at the top. I'll be talking more about it later. The Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master graphic novel Kickstarter has launched.
Yes.
And it started, we did a little soft launch yesterday. We'll be doing some tweaking, but I'll talk more about it later. But it's been about 3 to 4 months in the planning stage. Now it's finally out there.
So that's one of the things, one of the Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master is a script that Chris wrote that he is kickstarting into making a graphic novel, but we want to make it into a feature
film.
Exactly, we're going to make
end goal is a film.
Film.
That's awesome.
We're going to move for film stuff. I got that series on Amazon Prime. I want to just do more directing, and Chris and I both just want to do more directing and filmmaking and
get
everything.
Get back onto sets and doing more production.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, do you have an art style that you want the graphic novel to be, or do you have any artists that already picked out?
I work with the same artist that I did on the last one, Long Ago and Far Away, so it's we kind of have a shorthand now, which is cool.
Oh, great.
So I'll show you the page. It's really came out nice.
Yeah, it's awesome looking. I like his last graphic novel that he kickstarted and used. It really came out well, so what have you been doing, my friend? What have you you been up to?
I tell you, man, been crazy.
Just moved out of the Ice House.
Just moved out of the Ice House.
Oh my God!
Yeah, remember that studio there? It had it for almost eight years.
The one that had a earthquake when we interviewed you for earbuds.
And that's so funny because I just watched that.
I forgot about that. Yes. I remember that now.
Yeah, and what's so funny about that? That's one of the reasons I moved out is that the roof was about to, because we shot
the documentary.
Yeah, you know, once that was my final end game. Once that documentary was, the roof was about to cave in, and then they sold the Ice House to a new person owns the Ice House now.
Oh, wow.
So I was kind of like happy to move out of there though, because the place was just falling apart. So now, yeah, I have a little studio here in Burbank down the street from All Things Comedy. So
that's awesome. So one of the things that was a part of that show, one of the upsides of it that was kind of cool, I love doing, was we would then jump off and go do sets in the small room and then come back and talk about, and it was a really cool like vibe. So how is that? Do you have any version of that now?
We do. We just started, that was called the Ice House Chronicles. And we have something similar. We call it the Death Squad Chronicles now because it's not the Ice House. But what we do is we do the same idea of the podcast, which is like a bunch of comics and we rotate comics on and off the panel. So it's just like, it kind of has like a green room feel still. We just don't have a spot to do, which, you know, in the future, maybe in the other room, I could have a little stage there. We could, you know, like maybe film like a little like online stage where we're just trying out new shit or something. I don't even
know. That's a cool idea. Anything's possible.
Yeah, anything's possible. So we'll see. But you know, we had our first podcast back a couple days ago, and it worked great. Everyone loved it. We had about 20 comics, so we had a bunch of people just rotating out in and out of the podcast.
Oh, cool.
And then the comedy show part still goes on first and third Friday of every month at the Ice House, so we still did the
Well, whenever you need me for either one of the both of those things, definitely. Let me come by.
Definitely.
Because I'm going to have some free time after December 12th.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about Terminator.
No, Terminator Dark Fate.
Sure. All right. I was excited watching this trailer. James Cameron being involved made me excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
As I've stated, this movie let me down. But I want to hear what you guys have to say first. Maybe you liked it. Maybe I missed something.
Well, let's hear about Brian Redband's adventure to try to see.
Now I tried to see this movie because when I heard I was on this podcast or when I was on this podcast, one of the things is to see a movie.
Sure.
So I actually had no idea what movies were coming out this week. And I was like, oh, Terminator is the only one that seemed interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wasn't really into it because I had seen the last couple of Terminators and thought, oh God, this is going to suck.
Right.
But then I read that this was almost a sequel to T2, which is one of my favorite Terminators.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even know James Cameron was still involved with this. Did he direct it, write it?
He just produced it.
And,
I'm sure he had a hand in the writing.
He has a story by credit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. So I went to the movie theater here in Burbank.
Probably stood over Tim Miller's shoulder, too, while he was directing.
Well, he stood his shit over some more.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
So maybe this is a good thing. But so went to see it late night, Sunday night, and it was out of sync. The movie was out of sync. The audio was not syncing up with the video. And they tried to start it and do it a couple times, and then they said it's going to be a while. And so we just ended up walking out of that because it had already been like maybe 40 minutes of them trying to fix this movie.
Oh,
and that's it playing in like another theater like 20-30 minutes later?
I don't think so. I think this was the last. I had no idea. We just ended up leaving. But what's weird is everything's digital now. So so when shit happens, because I've never heard of like when you have film, there's no way to make the audio not sync up with the film because it's on the film.
Right, on the film. Yeah, there's literally on the
impossible.
Film.
It's impossible. So, and I was a projectionist for like 10, 15 years, and I had never even heard of a no syncing thing. I didn't even know this was a problem that they have once in a while. So we ended up not seeing it. So I guess that's a good thing, though.
So the first half hour of unsynced footage, what did you think of it?
It started before the movie actually even started. It was happening. Somebody caught it during the trailers. Thank God. Oh.
You didn't really see any?
I didn't see anything.
Other than the trailer.
Trailers.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's blame Skynet for what happened to Brian.
Good. Well, I'm kind of happy now because I thought it would be maybe interesting.
Legion.
It got good reviews, I thought.
It's getting mixed for sure. Like some people are loving it. Oh, it's the best movie since, best Terminator since T2.
Right.
Technically, I think that may be true, but because the other ones are awful. Much. Yeah.
Did the age have any, like, was it too, like, oh, this is old Arnold and
it
old?
It could have been, that could have been a cool thing. We talked about this on the show when we first saw the trailer several months ago. We were like, are they going to rewrite the timeline again? Because that's the thing they keep doing in all of the subsequent. Since T2, they keep rewriting the timeline. Now, that would be interesting if it was like, hey, we can change the future by our actions today, but it's always just seems like haphazard writing or whatever. And I was hoping this wasn't the case. And you know, spoiler alert, and they introduce it early on in the movie, so I don't feel like I'm ruining the film for anybody. Mm-mm. But, and I wanted to love it. The older Linda Hamilton, and she's a badass, and all this stuff. And it was, by halfway through, I was bored, and I was like, why am I here? And I'm not going to see movies like this after December 12th.
Not much action? Not much.
Some of the action, I mean, look, some of the new effects of the new Terminator, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, and the flashbacks to like the world where the Terminators exist, like the different types of Terminators,
yes.
They were really cool. I'm like, oh, I kind of want to see more of this. Nope, only a couple seconds.
Only a couple seconds. Yeah. So they could have, there was such a potential for like, oh, this could be really cool, especially for Terminator diehards like us.
When you have killer robots and time travel, you could kind of do a lot of things. You don't have to do the same story over and over and over and over again. But I'm going to say something that's going to blow your mind on this film. Ready? Here it comes. This movie, in this day and age, with streaming and nostalgia, was put together and produced and marketed the completely wrong way. And the reason is because this movie appeals to our age. The new people coming up, the new kids, the teenagers, don't give a shit about the Terminator. We wanted to go and see Arnold and see Linda Hamilton over and over to see like maybe a new story, like continuing storyline. This should have been a straight-to-streaming movie like Pee-wee's Big Adventure sequel, the Pee-wee Takes a Holiday, because it has that nostalgia. It's streaming. This is like a direct-to-streaming movie, and that's what it should have been. This was not a big blockbuster event movie. It didn't have the appeal. It never would have, because you're not going to win over new fans. I mean, you're either in on board on the Terminator, you've seen a couple of the other movies, or you're not. This is not an entry point for new fans into the Terminator franchise. So this movie, and it went, especially James Cameron's back. Only we would care that James Cameron's back. So if you have a movie that's solely going on nostalgia, it has a much smaller audience than apparently they predicted. I mean, I was clear. I'm like, well, this isn't going to make giant money. They thought it was going to be this giant, huge Marvel-like blockbuster. And there's no way it would ever have been that. But it should have been even smaller than it was. Because if you take it in that context and look at it,
Aaron, can you look up what its box office did this weekend?
I heard it did good.
No, it didn't. Yeah, it tanked.
Oh,
yeah.
Geez.
And
because they couldn't sync the sound.
There's only 10 people in my movie.
You know, but things like The Dark Crystal and all of these nostalgia fueled basically sequels or remakes, they're for the fans of that thing and no one else. That's why they're perfect to live on streaming, where it has a very smaller audience, but that's who it's for. So even like the Breaking Bad movie, like if you hadn't seen the series and you weren't a fan, that movie, there's no reason to see that
movie. Which is why they very wisely just put it on Netflix.
Exactly.
They didn't spend all this money to release it in the theaters. So, and all the Breaking Bad fans, we all loved it.
Yeah. So I think if this was a different type of movie that didn't try to be this giant 80s blockbuster, that I think there was a lot of potential that went wrong here. I really felt like this was a missed opportunity.
What was the budget, Aaron?
Okay, budget's $185 million. It made 41 worldwide.
Wow. Yeah, it tanked.
That's a bad weekend.
Because there were some things that I did like about this movie. There was a lot of things that I did not like. There was a bunch of stuff that like, well, wait, that makes no sense. And this is something that happened to Cameron before. Do you remember Aliens 3, where she was on that penal colony, shaved head?
Yeah.
At the end of Aliens 2, they fought all of those aliens, and only her and Hicks survived. And the beginning of Aliens 3,
and
oh yeah,
little
Hicks,
girl.
Hicks,
and the little girl Newt,
And the little girl knew. He died in the, you know, that whole movie that he spent surviving. Yeah, he died, and we're not even going to mention him again.
Oh, yeah.
No. So, and that's what happened here in Terminator. Like, we pretty much took all of the events of T2 and, you know, basically dismissed them in the first scene of this one.
Yeah.
Because, you're like, oh, no, John Connor as a kid, now he's... Now, and this isn't a spoiler, it's the first scene. Now he's killed, but... then the movie jumps off from there. And I was reading an interview with the directors, like, well, it was necessary to do that because we had to establish new heroes and characters. I'm like, no, it's a time travel premise. You could do whatever you want. You don't have to do this exact same story over and over again. But I'll tell you, there was a lot of really cool things. Like, I felt like, you know, even Arnold Schwarzenegger, like the aging and stuff, I could buy that. It's, you know, it's a... You know, okay, well, the skin is organic. It can age. I'll buy that. If I can buy that Iron Man falling out of the sky doesn't turn to jelly when he hits the ground because of inertial dampeners, I can buy that, you know, cybernetic skin can age. I'm not going to get hung up on that.
It's funny. They go through this whole thing to change the timeline.
Yeah.
And then...
Make it exactly the same. So if you're going to change it, change it.
Well, my bet is they... didn't want to cast Edward Furlong.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah. Edward Furlong is, they couldn't have him in there, right?
Like, so, well, they digitally put him in there as a young kid.
Oh.
Yeah. That digital stuff was amazing. Like, when they de-aged both of them, it was unbelievable.
So did the movie actually feel big budget?
Like, it did, but it felt big budget 80s. Like, it really, it had this weird retro, like, we've seen this before, we've seen these stunts before, we've seen these characters before. Like, there was nothing, like, and then they try to shoehorn in new characters. I'm like, well, yeah, but this, it doesn't matter.
The chase and the action sequences, even, so they added new technology, to the new Terminators, right? That came down, but they just ended up doing the same. It was the same car chase, the same. Just right. In T2, when he would turn to liquid, and that back then at T2 was like, oh my god,
I've never
level.
Seen that before.
Right.
This was like, we've already seen this.
Yeah.
I've seen this car chase before. I've seen this like guy that this Terminator doesn't die.
Yeah.
Fighting an older, like an enhanced human.
Right. We've seen it all. All before. And I will say this, which is interesting. At the beginning, there's clips of T2 where, you know, Sarah Connor is like in the mental institution, is going nuts and talking about how, you know, the apocalypse is coming. Everyone's going to be burned alive with nuclear fire. And it was probably one of the most emotional parts of the film, because it kind of set up this bleak outlook that Cameron had for this world and these characters, and it was really, really sincere. But this just felt like, well, we're just going to rehash it. We're going to put some dumb 80s lines in here, and we're going to just kind of give you more of what you like. But that's no. I want to see something different. You can do whatever you want. Even like I bring this back every single time. There's a great RoboCop versus Terminator story that Frank Miller wrote years ago, and that'd be incredible. And it has time travel, RoboCop, Terminators, and humans all fighting and together in this giant arcing storyline, and it's fantastic. So it just shows the potential of what this could be and what you can do, but there's not going to be another one for a very long time. This one this one did not do well. Creatively, there was left a lot to be desired, and I don't see another one in the future, for sure.
I can't remember much of any of the... I've seen all of them. Other than T2, the first two ones are amazing. Mm-hmm. The first one is a fantastic science fiction premise.
Rise of the Machines.
It's a horror film almost.
Yeah, the first one is a horror movie.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And then the second one is just like, oh, dude.
One of the best movies ever.
Action.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is one of the best like science fiction action movies out there.
And Cameron came from this place of just real anger. Like, he couldn't get anything in Hollywood done. He couldn't get anything made. He was getting the door slammed on him all the time. He like just wrote this dark, bleak fucking movie out of anger, and it took off. That's the one he got made.
And this heavy social commentary, mm-hmm. really sort of similar to Planet of the Apes, of like the human race, you guys are the problem.
Right.
And this is what happens if you guys can't figure your shit out. You're all about greed and money and war. You're going to have to fight these aliens. And it's like, they could have done so much more since today.
Right.
Like, the Elon Musk Joe Rogan interview is petrifying, right? You watch that and Elon Musk is like terrified because he's seen some crazy shit with some AIs and you're like, there, that, we're there, we're close.
Yeah, we're closer than people think we are, for sure. I mean, because a lot of the stuff that's in development that is in the labs at Apple or wherever, it's doing some crazy shit. So, yeah, I mean, there's six of these movies. Yeah. You know, I dare you to try to name all of them without looking at the sheet. Right. I don't think you'd be able to.
There's no way.
I think I saw the third one. I don't think I maybe saw the fourth one, but I definitely
didn't. Did you know Christian Bale is in one?
No.
Yeah. See, he's in one of the Terminator movies.
Yeah. That was the one that came out in 09.
Yeah, and that one had some interesting things in it. I mean, the movie wasn't that good, but it had like this giant Terminator harvesting people and had like motorcycles come off its arm like to ride down. It was some really cool shit. It was like, oh, that's even cooler than the Transformers. It's like a Terminator Transformer.
It's like similar to the Planet of the Apes.
When they went shopping.
The Shaw series where like the first one's amazing. The second one's like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And then they just get ridiculous after that. The budgets get less. And that's like...
Just stop.
Stop.
Yeah, stop. There's better ways to spend $180
million. $185
million. Wow. And then Arnold Schwarzenegger was 71 when production began on this movie. He was 36 in the original movie.
Jesus.
Wow.
So Aaron, what else?
Oh, I was just going to disagree with Chris on Aliens. I just think Alien 3 is pretty cool, and David Fincher was like, hey, fuck you. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, and Sigourney Weaver is totally in on it. Like, let's honor the franchise, but also say, fuck it, and this is how we're going to end it.
Yeah.
The fact they made a fourth, obviously, is crazy.
Yeah, they...
We've talked about that already.
Let's just say they go downhill after two. You could still enjoy
three. Yeah, three is still
kind of like The Matrix. I like The Matrix 2. Matrix 3, I don't mind it, but a lot of people hate The Matrix 3.
and then there was Aliens. Then there was Aliens 4. Then one of them, which one was directed by the guy that did Delicatessen? That was like the weirdest.
That was 4, yeah.
That was the weirdest Alien movie ever.
Alien Goes to College?
Yeah, yeah.
This summer.
Yeah. Spring Break Alien style.
Give me some of that milk.
And then they did Aliens with... Aliens vs. Predator. Then it just kept going and And then they did Prometheus, and then I don't know, is there going to be another one? Then there was another Aliens reboot that was awful. So we'll see.
But, I'm not going to see any more Alien or Terminator movies.
Did they make a sequel? You don't have to. You don't have to. I'm seen them already. If one comes out 2 years from now, you've already seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they make a sequel to The Abyss? Because that was a fucking great... The water movie.
Yeah, I know
that
which one.
That was a very cool movie. Mm-hmm. And that's a movie... That was a James Cameron movie.
Yeah, it was Titanic was the sequel.
But there's a director's cut of The Abyss, which is pretty amazing, because I remember there was some like studio meddling in the original one.
Right. So these giant walls of water about the flood cities, and that for some reason the studios like took all that out, and it apparently made so much more sense to have it in the movie.
Oh, damn, I gotta watch that.
Yeah, and then that in the studio cut, there's that soap dish that floats up at the end or whatever, and then apparently the director's cut, which has got all this amazing shit in it.
So check it out.
All right.
So there you go with Terminator Dark Fate.
It was the cop in it, the guy that played?
Robert Patrick?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't. No.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah.
But the woman that played the enhanced human that was sent back to...
Tully. She was in that movie, Tully.
Yeah, that was sent back to protect. She did an okay job, but again, it was all the same beats and moments. Yeah,
We need to protect someone. So a Terminator comes out and then someone to protect them.
Right.
I'm like, okay.
Was the soundtrack just like a little remix? Like, dun 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 da da?
They just added two new notes.
Yeah. It totally felt that way, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, there was nothing new. I just, after a while, I was like, I've seen this movie before.
That's a letdown.
So you really... You kind of...
I think I dodged a bullet there.
Maybe AMC did you a favor.
I think a Terminator came back in time and saved you from watching this shitty movie.
Yeah, because honestly, if it wasn't for this podcast, that would definitely have been I'll save it for iTunes. There was no... Like, I think such letdowns from the other Terminator movies, I had no desire to see this movie, even as a fan of Terminator 2 and Terminator 2.
And so. You were correct.
Mm-hmm. And I was like the biggest fan of the Sarah Connor Chronicles. You know, that was my...
Oh, the TV show? Oh,
yeah. I never saw that, actually.
Well, that's a good point. I remember when the Sarah Chronicles came out, I thought it was interesting. There was some cool stuff about it. You know, because it was doing that thing of
like... Wasn't there like a female Terminator that lived with them or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a girl from Firefly, Summer Glau.
Oh, yeah.
Did it finish its run? Do you know if it got to the end or did...
I don't think it... I think it got canceled before it ended. But I remember like the first 5 or 6 episodes were kind of cool and it was exploring some cool stuff in this world. And because it had a TV budget and not a big studio movie budget, they actually had to write some interesting
scripts.
Stories. Yeah. They had to have some scripts in there. So it was like... I remember it being... I was like, wow, this is kind of cool. It was interesting. And I was like, why don't they do... more shit like this. Yeah.
It didn't last very long.
No. It was like, it went 2 seasons.
Yeah.
No. It did do 2 seasons.
I think too, yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, Brian, you saw The Last Days of Phil Hartman. Tell us about that documentary.
Yeah, so this is a documentary on Hulu, and I didn't even know it existed. I think maybe ABC put it out and then Hulu just put it on Hulu or something, because it did definitely seemed like it was for TV.
How new is it? Is it?
I think it just was released on Hulu, at least in the last month, maybe.
Okay.
And it uses a lot. I mean, a lot of the footage is, you know, old TV 4x3 footage. So it's a lot of old footage. But what was interesting about it, it really explored the wife. And like, I didn't know a lot about her. Like, I didn't know that she was also trying to be in Hollywood, trying to be an actress. And then that Phil Hartman success actually kind of drove her to this maniac that ended up killing him. And it was cool. The only thing that was kind of negative is like there was the people that they interviewed from the past was very kind of random. And it, like you could tell like a lot of people didn't want to talk about it or for this. So they had like, you know, they did have Andy Dick and there was some cool stories about, you know, like a lot of people blamed Andy Dick for his death because he supposedly gave cocaine at one party. Phil's wife goes, "Hey, you got any cocaine?" And Andy's like, "Sure, here's some cocaine," or whatever. And that supposedly got her. She had a bad cocaine problem. So it really explored her cocaine problems.
You could blame Andy Dick for a lot of things.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could blame him for that.
No.
Well, that's preposterous because it's like the addict is going to get the cocaine they get it.
Absolutely.
It's like, if I don't get it from Andy Dick, I'll
never find cocaine.
Exactly. In this city? Never.
Not in Los Angeles.
No, but I do recommend if you're, because I was a huge Phil Hartman fan, and I thought I knew the majority of it, but it really explored deep into her. And there was even times where after Saturday Night Live, maybe it was after News Radio or right before News Radio, they were trying to make a show and she wanted to be casted in the show. And so Phil was like pushing this show with her in it. And the studio was like, "No, we just want you," you know? So, and I think it really got to her and like the fame thing where she wasn't
famous.
Famous.
Cause she came out here to be famous and be involved and then she couldn't and she had cocaine. The gun thing, did she like grow up shooting guns or did she just had guns or he owned them or how did that?
I think if I remember, they had guns in their house and she ended up shooting him and then driving to her friend's house and going, "I just shot Phil." And the guy was like, "What the fuck are you talking about? You shot Phil." And like, and then they drove back and I guess he saw Phil's body in there and then she grabbed the gun and then, you know, the kids and stuff were in the house at the time. And what's interesting is that after I watched it, I was like, "Oh yeah, he had kids." And so then, I looked up his kids like a weirdo. I went and found him on Twitter and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting this, you know,
is she still alive though? Ex-wife?
She shot herself.
Oh, that's right. It was a murder suicide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They tried to get her and then she just shot herself. But, it was super sad, but, you know, I thought if you're a Phil Hartman fan, definitely check it out because it really dove deep into that.
I really want to see this because I remember that there's a couple of celebrity deaths in my life that I found that were really significant in term. One of them was when John Belushi died. He was a hero of mine as a kid. And when he OD'd from drugs, one of the reasons why I never got into drugs because I was like, "Oh, my hero OD'd and died," and the culture of like, "Oh, do it" around him, that always bothered me. And then when this Phil Hartman thing happened, I was like, I thought he was brilliant. I mean, I love News Radio. I loved him on Saturday Night Live.
Did they go into like Simpsons stuff too? Like yeah, all the voices he did?
All the voices and how the Simpsons, you know, when he died, they decided to retire all the voices, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So we lost a lot of characters in the Simpsons also, you know. Like
I remember that. I was like, I remember talking to Paul Goebel, you know, we were like roommates or right around the time when this happened. And we were both like, he said it. And it was like, a guy that's on my two favorite, News Radio and The Simpsons were like my two favorite shows at the time. And this guy is gone from my two favorite shows. And especially The Simpsons, like all the voices he did.
I'm Troy McGurr.
Yeah, all of those ones. I mean, he did so many amazing voices. And I was like, oh man, it really had a profound impact on me. Other celebrity deaths have been like, whatever. But that and the Belushi one, I was like, holy shit. Because it felt sort of like, maybe they're both comedians and comedic actors and sketch people. And it felt like, well, this could happen to any of us.
And died tragically and too young.
It died tragically and too young because they got mixed up in whatever. And it's like, it really had a profound impact on me.
Also, another interesting thing I did not know, and I should have known this because I work with Joe Rogan and stuff like that. And he was on News Radio.
Yeah.
And so when he died, and the character died, they killed the character in the show also.
Oh,
so
wow.
They died in between seasons, or he died in between seasons. And so when they came back for the season premiere, it dealt with the character, Phil Hartman's character, dying. And one of the interesting things I didn't know about is that the writers wrote letters to all the people on the show as if Phil Hartman was saying goodbye to them.
Like, oh, wow.
And they didn't let the actors of the show read the letter until it was live while they were filming.
Wow.
So the characters in the show are reading this letter that's supposedly from Phil Hartman, and they had never read it before. So that scene, they showed a part of that scene. It looked deep. Like, so that was interesting. I didn't know.
Yeah, this had a profound impact on me in terms of like, while the never wanting to be, because I saw Cocaine, like I drank, and one of the reasons I don't drink anymore is I used to drink too much and did some shit I probably shouldn't have done. But I never went near Cocaine because I saw guys get killed in high school that were dealing it. Then the Belushi thing happened, the Phil Hartman thing happened, and I was always like, man, I don't want to go near this. And I think the Phil Hartman...
Now, heroin.
Heroin's great. Heroin's great. Well, you raise
no
a vein.
No one ever dies from heroin.
No, heroin's great.
No blue baby on the ceiling.
No, you're good. Actually, it was heroin that killed Belushi, too. Yeah, so I never did any of those hard drugs. So much so that, like, when... it was a little over 2 years ago when I had, I was dating someone that like started doing cocaine and her behavior change became violent and she grew up shooting guns. I was like, out, we're done. Because I was like, I remember, and friends of mine were like, dude, Phil Hartman, get her the fuck out, hide the knife. Like it was like, oh shit. And this, and I remember this, like we went, all me and all my comedy friends, when Phil Hartman died, like, fuck, why didn't he just get her out or get the cocaine, or why do they have guns now? Like all of these things, like he should have, would have, whatever. You're going to kill yourself going through that. But so when I was confronted with that, I was like, out, go, bye, done. Started becoming problematic, got a restraining order. I was like, I am not fucking around with this shit at all. I'm not going around it. And all the cocaine that I'm hearing is back in the comedy scene. I'm like, good luck, kids. Good fucking luck.
Yeah.
Some bad shit's going to go down. Mm-hmm. Someone's going to OD and die. I mean, Harris Whittle's died. I mean, I don't know what it's going to, there's going to be a big bust, or there's going to be something bad's going to happen, but
yeah,
it doesn't mix well, man. There's a guy who got gunned, a kid I played high school football with my freshman year. Was a really, you know, I dug him. We played, you know, we were just football teammate buddies. And then he stopped playing football sophomore year, got mixed up with the drunks when we were juniors. I found out they killed him gangland style fucking alley. Head, you know, arms on his back, two to the back of the head. Wow. 16 years old.
Jeez. Oh my God.
And I was just like, okay, man. That's why I've never fucked with this stuff. But anyway, structurally, documentary-wise, I'm assuming you probably watch a lot of docs.
Yeah, yeah.
Did they do a good job in terms of structuring and storytelling?
I think they did a good job. I think the only fault was the source material was all pretty much old school material, you know, like old VHS tape type stuff. And the people that they brought back to talk kind of was like, okay, that's a stretch. Like, why is this guy, you know, you know what I mean? But
like they couldn't really get like more inner circle people.
Yeah, they couldn't like which I thought was odd. You know, like why wouldn't you get, you know, like Joe Rogan,
Kevin Nealon,
like you know, like some more of the Saturday Night Live people. They did have, forget her name, Molly Shannon. No, it wasn't Molly Shannon. They did have one of the people from Saturday Night Live.
Sherry O'Terry?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. But you know, then it also dug into like I didn't know he was an artist. Like his job before Saturday Night Live was a graphic design artist. And if you look at his work, like famous album covers of bands were made by Phil Hartman. Like, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I don't know if Aaron could look it up or what it was, but...
yeah, I forget which one it specifically was. Yeah.
The other thing that was always so impressive about his career is he got famous later. He was like in his 30s.
Yeah.
He wasn't like 22 when he broke. He was like mid to late 30s or something.
I think 40 even.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, when he first got on SNL, it was like, wow. So it
never happens anymore.
I know.
Hartman designed over 40 record covers for bands such as America, Poco, Steely Dan. And like, if you look at the album covers, you'll be like, oh my God, Phil Hartman did that? Like, mm-hmm. He was a really good artist. Like, here's one that this one Rogan has in his studio. And I always was wondering, what is this weird cover, and it's called Fighting Clowns.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it's pretty amazing. His art style was pretty cool. Did not know that.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
So yeah, check it out.
You'd recommend it for sure.
I definitely, if you're a Phil Hartman fan, it's an easy watch. It's not like I said, it's not the best documentary, but it's it definitely taught me a lot that I didn't know.
Right. I'll say this just about old source material. I'm forgiving of that in a documentary because what are you going to do? Like if you're doing a World War II doc, you're going to have black and white. You're not going to have, and to me, I'm okay with it in the sense that it also time stamps it for me of like, oh, that was, it puts me back in that era, I guess.
It also sees the lower resolution stuff too, how far we've come technologically.
Yeah, yeah. It's like,
how, you know, high def.
I remember... I mean, literally, well, news radio.
That was shot on 16mm film, some of these shows.
But, like, that's how I watch TV, is I would set my VCR to record news radio on The Simpsons, and I would fast forward, so...
To the commercials,
And you'd roll over those tapes 1,000 times, so the quality all sucked.
And now, looking back at those VHS tapes, watching the commercials are my favorite part. Like, look at that. Oh, my God, McDonald's had a popcorn? I don't know what...
McPopcorn?
A McPopcorn? Yeah.
all right. So now you also saw Always Be My Maybe.
Yeah, this
on
is
Netflix. You like this one as well.
Is this the Ali Wong movie?
Yeah, and this was a surprise because I did not have any information about this movie. I didn't even care to see this movie. This is one of those movies that really was, my girlfriend was watching it and I just started watching it. Ended up being a really nice, happy, positive movie. But the best part in it, one of the best Keanu Reeves scenes ever made. Like,
that's a high bar.
I don't want to spoil it. I mean, just the scene, Keanu Reeves scene is on YouTube, so if you just want to watch that. But it's maybe a 10-minute scene. Maybe
see it in context.
Yeah.
See it in the movie.
See it in the movie because...
He plays himself, right?
He plays himself, and it is one of the craziest... Out of nowhere, what the fuck? Why is he in this movie?
Oh, that's great.
Things
now
ever.
I really want to see it.
No, and it was up to that point, it was already a good movie. It was pretty funny. I liked all the people in it. Like, I like Randall Park a lot. You know, he's great. But it was a nice surprise. And if you're looking for an easy, digestible movie, like a little happy, maybe a date movie, I would really recommend it. I was very surprised at it.
Well, she's hilarious. She actually was a guest on the show a million years ago, before she got mega famous.
Her and Tiffany Haddish.
Yes.
We could go through the guest list.
We could go through. We've had some big stars on the show.
So, Grant, we have an advertiser today.
Well, how about it, Chris?
We have Eero, the Wi-Fi people. And the thing about Eero that I really like is it's easy to put put up. It's easy to install. And one of the problems with Wi-Fi is, now we don't have a giant home, but we do have Wi-Fi in the garage, which is the office and to the kids' rooms. It would never reach. But with Eero, you could actually use Wi-Fi, and then it has little beacons to extend the range, so now the whole house is covered, so it's so much easier. And you can install it with just the app on your phone. So it sets up in minutes, it plugs right into your modem or router, and you know you can manage it from an app, and you can even pause Wi-Fi. And you know, the other thing I like too is I could go on if one of the kids is using their iPad a little too much, I can shut off the Wi-Fi on.
I just got this actually for my house.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good. And you know, Eero has pretty much fixed the, you know, the issues that I've been having with Wi-Fi, and that was that not enough coverage on the house, and also just easy updates. Like, I don't have to like figure out router settings and all of this other stuff that Eero can do now, because I just get an alert on the phone. Oh yeah, it's been up. It's updated itself. Ooh. It's you're good to go. So, and you can get yours fixed as soon as tomorrow. There's an all-new Eero starting at just $99. You can go to Eero.com/comedy, enter code comedy at checkout to get free overnight shipping with your order. That's Eero, Eero.com/comedy. Code comedy at checkout to get your Eero delivered with free overnight shipping. You have to use the URL, though, to receive this offer. That's Eero.com/comedy, code comedy. And, Graham, you know what else we have? We have some Patreon sponsors.
Oh, my goodness.
They're sticking with us to the end.
You know, thank you so much, folks. You go to Patreon.com/comedyfilmnerds. You get bonus content this month. And next month.
Yes.
And then it's over.
Yep. So we really appreciate you guys sticking with us. And some of you have been altering your ad reads to give some nice thank yous. Be on the ear lookout for these,
here,
Graham.
Here comes some new ad copy that's wonderful.
Yeah. Johnny Roulon's got some short horror stories for sale. The first is called The Shell, and it's a Lovecraftian tale about a neighborhood that loses power and becomes victim to an unknown monster. The second's called She, and is about a high school held under the dark spell of an evil cult leader. They're both on Amazon Kindle for 99 cents, or you can go find them by going to happyhorrorshowproductions.com and clicking the Buy Short Stories tab. And Fanboy Planet's a website and podcast for all things geeky and amazing. Check out Fanboy Planet for all your comics news, your movie news, TV news, and amazing interviews with industry insiders and artists. Fanboyplanet.com. That's fanboyplanet.com. Coffee Over Suicide, a dramedy podcast about mental illness and choosing life over death, one cup of coffee at a time. New episodes every Wednesday and Friday, wherever podcasts are found. Find out more at coffeeoversuicide.com. And The Art Podcast with Rebecca Evans, the podcast that was inspired by the bold artists and leaders who stepped forward, created and launched the Los Angeles Podcast Festival.
Oh, come on.
I have to read it like that. That's how she said it.
Thank you so much. Forever. Another great thing we did that we love doing that didn't work out financially.
Yeah. forever grateful for that experience. When we move past hesitation and we're true to ourselves, we find our own art in life. Hear inspiring interviews at theartpodcasts.com with an S. Tony McFadden's 14th book is a gritty Australian noir. The Murder of Jeremy Brooks pits small-town Australian PI Dan McGuinness against corporate greed and corruption. A Sydney surgeon hires Dan to find her husband's killer. The cops think it was a mugging gone bad. She thinks it was a hit. More info at tonymcfadden.net/JB. And from Andy Bowman, every week on the Geek 101 podcast, Ariel and Andy get together to discuss, critique, review, and sometimes bicker about the latest in geek news and pop culture. Become a listener and join the conversation by listening to Geek 101 Podcasts wherever you download podcasts. And from Jerome Sullivan, he's got screenplays for sale, and you can call on calling on Hollywood, Netflix, Disney, YouTube, Apple. I urge you to go to jcsscreenplays.com to check out the briefs of his completed movie and television scripts, including a murder mystery, sci-fi action, coming-of-age musical, a horror, rom-com, and more. jcsscreenplays.com. And David Hynek, a contemporary classical composer who writes music people actually like. And he says, congrats to Comedy Film Nerds for 10 wonderful years of podcasting.
Oh,
DavidHynek.com.
Come on, guys. You're now, little angels, you are.
There's two more who bought tiers but didn't give me ad copy yet. So if you get me that, I will put that in for the last couple of shows. So make sure you guys get that to me at info@comedyfilmnerds.com.
All right.
And we've got some trailers, Graham.
What do we want to watch first?
Let's do The Banker. And this is what I want you to notice about both these trailers. If you were in a Marvel movie, you now get to star in any movie you want.
Okay, good to know.
There's
He's not the reason I drink. He's the reason.
All the leads in both films are.
We're gonna keep going until you make me laugh, and we're gonna do it all night.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait to talk about that.
So as soon as this ad for a movie play stops, then we will watch the movie.
All right, here we go. The Banker.
Oh, so this is an apple. Is that it?
I'm not sure.
So, what's your plan, Mr. Garrett?
How would you like to buy a bank?
What the hell do we know about banking?
Owning a bank is like owning the other side of the real estate business.
There's a few complexities you just left out.
Like what?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I not wake up black this morning? Because I'm pretty sure
Samuel Jackson being Samuel Jackson.
Yep. Still black.
I got my head full of dreams.
I came here to try my hand at real estate.
You mad at millionaire units?
You know the time never sleeps.
I like seeing black men succeed. Sometimes I even invest some of my own money to back them. I know you're smart and ambitious.
You and I both know that's not enough.
It's time that someone shine a bright light in order for things to change.
Are you starting to buy real estate in white-only neighborhoods?
Keep one eye open.
Think about all the good we can do for the community.
Taking it to the man.
That's exactly what we're going to do.
And just how in the hell do you plan on pulling that off?
We get Matt to front for us.
You want me to what?
Be us to the rest of the world.
We can't set foot in the bank unless we the help.
I'm starting to like Nicholas Holt
took
more.
Took limo
more.
Driver when you had the chance.
I don't know anything about banking. I don't.
Oh, by the way, X-Men,
bank.
We'll teach Avengers, you, you need to know.
And,
yeah, exactly.
Talk to rich white folks like you one of them.
And you can't fake a golf game.
Make me proud, son.
Whole country's talking about how two Negroes managed to buy two banks full of white folks' money and loan it to other Negroes.
You should have known you couldn't keep this a secret very long.
FBI, you're under arrest.
A black man tries to bring other brothers up. That's intolerant.
Oh, when you're working on faith. Oh, when you're living on faith. Something's got to give. Something's got to give.
Even a rig gang's fun to play by now.
If this was easy, somebody else would have done it a long time ago. Something's
got to give. Also, again, too long of a trailer.
Yeah.
Like, I got the idea. Okay. Yeah.
I know. They had it. They should have cut it 30 seconds ago. I would have gone awesome in. And now it's like, oh, I got the whole, they give us too much.
Yep.
Yeah. Sam Jackson acting like Sam Jackson, though. That was so funny.
It's just great. It's I mean, I'm intrigued in the sense that if this is based on a true story and this really happened, I'd love to know. I'd like to know about it.
Right.
And Sam Jackson just, wandering around going, yelling, saying Sam Jackson-y things.
That was so Sammy Jackson.
That's fantastic.
Oh, I need this motherfucking money and this motherfucking bank.
Yeah, that's just right now. You know, it is the thing. And I said, when I went to see The Terminator, all the row of coming soon movies was either biopics like this, sequels, or remakes. And this is the thing, like,
we're in more of the Oscar season issue.
So we are in more Oscar season. So like Harriet and okay, that's cool, but it's like, it's that thing we've talked about, like Roger Deakins said in that interview of like, where's the $50 million drama? And I'm down with a good biopic if it's done correctly.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's got to be some, I know there's stuff happening today that would make a good story.
Right.
You know, like I'm down with a good biopic, especially if it's like, you know, I always reference this one, Hidden Figures told us something that most of us didn't know was true. And it Hollywood versioned it anyway.
Weren't
there
a couple of Snowden movies that did come
out? They were all right. But like, let's, come on.
More contemporary storytelling is what you want?
Yeah, a little bit. There's all these great stories out there. Like, there's all this shit happening right here, right now.
Yeah, I don't think I'm rushing to see The Banker.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting maybe to watch or something on a plane. I don't know. Yeah, maybe I'll see it. So. Like,
well, let's get to the next one, 21 Bridges. See what you think about this one. Now, this is Black Panther in New York.
All right.
Be afraid.
Two shooters. They have training.
For he even does not walks bear the same sword in vain. He carries out wrath on the wrongful.
I will find them.
Oh, actually,
we catch these guys in the next 3 or 4 hours, they vanish. How are you gonna do this?
There are 21 bridges in and out of the island. Shut them down.
What island?
Manhattan.
Did he really ask what island?
Yeah. Hawaii.
Yeah.
They told me you were the guy who kills killers.
Beautiful. What could go wrong? You got a trigger.
You better have perfect diction calling me a trigger.
This is a setup. Call it what you want.
I just did.
Spider-Man.
If you go down this road, I'll be looking over your shoulder the rest of your life.
I'd rather look the devil in the eye. Still going bad on me.
Okay.
Yeah, that looks better.
Contemporary, shoot 'em up.
This looks like the first half of an Anton Fuqua movie.
Yeah. You know, I'll see it. That I'll see, because that's going to be a good shoot 'em up corruption.
Yeah, this is a thriller copy type
revenge-y
story. Yeah.
Too many burpees.
But yeah, it'll be a deeper conspiracy story, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's going to be something else going on here.
I'm down with it. It goes all the way to the top.
Yeah,
you're in too deep. You know what I mean?
What island? Yeah.
See, Catalina.
That one thing that they put in the trailer like that will bug me so much, though, that I will end up hating the movie before it even comes out, just because I'm going to be thinking about that one.
What was it? If I don't see that in the theater, I will see that on a plane, and will be probably very happy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That it got me across the country.
That is a perfect plane movie.
Perfect, right?
Especially if you're flying to New York.
You're flying to... That's a perfect over 3 hour flight, is what you watch that, and you're like, oh, and there's a chase and a thing and a guy, and it goes all the way to the mayor's office and whatever, and hey, we're getting ready to land. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I like plane movies. Like, I just saw the new Men in Black on the plane. And I'm like, yeah, this is fine. You know, this is a great plane movie.
Right.
I
mean,
it got... was fun, actually. I kind of wish I saw it on a normal TV. But...
Yeah, and you know, it got you across the country, and you felt good.
You would have hated it on a normal TV.
Yeah, right? Yeah. See, it seemed like it was okay for a plane, you know?
Yeah, that's where it should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, there's our definite plane movies, for sure.
All right.
So, all right, and I want to let you guys know the CFN store is still broken. We are trying to get it fixed.
Our last month of having a goddamn store and it breaks.
Yeah, and the hosting company
has
killed it.
This has to be the NSA.
Yeah, and I've talked to our programmers, and it's like it's all on the hosting side. They can't do anything, and the hosting company is ignoring me. So, thanks, DreamHost. Yeah.
Oh, DreamHost.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, they're just...
That's who I use. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yikes.
Now, I will say this. They've been great for 10 years.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, right when we're leaving,
really?
They dropped our shit.
Wow. Yeah.
So, and they blew up our store. So we're trying to get it fixed. We're hoping at least...
The site couldn't crash 6 months ago?
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have a backup? What's the reason here? You need
exactly. Yeah. Could you make a phone call?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a fine question to ask a massive tech hosting company.
Right? Yeah. You can't figure out how to put in a security certificate.
Usually always in the past, anytime I've had a problem, like they're like, well, we'll grab a backup from a week ago. And like, that's fine.
Yeah.
Because
it's their problem on their side.
Wow.
Like their security certificates are broken. So anything that needs a certificate, like a cart, breaks.
They won't work.
Because then Google gives everyone a warning. Warning, don't use this site if it doesn't work.
So. I just did a security certificate from them last week. My first time ever doing that because I kept on getting these notices on my website.
Yep.
And it works so far.
Yeah. Ours didn't. We still paid for it. All didn't work.
Weird.
So we're hoping that will be resolved before the 12th. So, all right, DVD and Blu-ray, Hobbs and Shaw. Now, this was a fun spinoff to Fast and Furious. Not as good as the Fast and Furious movies, but I have to say, I don't know if I was expecting it. It was a little weird to add, you know, Idris Elba as a superhero and then not give him enough to do or say, because you've got Idris Elba in your movie. You should really use Idris Elba. For what it was, it's okay.
It seemed fun.
Yeah, the Rock is always entertaining.
It did its job.
Yeah.
I mean...
Airplane movie?
Yeah. It's a big blow-em-up. Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? Snappy lines and, you know, crazy stuff and defying the laws of physics like any good Fast and Furious movie would do. so it was fine.
The usual. And the next one is Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. This movie was the one that scared my children. It was horrifying. Everyone's saying, oh, it was a good kind of mid-range, you know, kids horror movie. Oh, no, it's terrifying, wow. This movie. But the reason people are saying that is that because it's bloodless. Like, there's not a lot of blood and guts in it. But if you have horrifying images and weird people screaming and monsters and hospitals that are eating kids, it's still pretty terrifying. Yeah. So, and the next one is The Kitchen. This is the, I was thinking of the wives of the criminals that were going to take back the Hell's Kitchen in New York.
Tiffany Haddish is in this.
Yes, did not do well, this movie. It kind of came and went very quickly.
Did you see it?
Mm-mm.
I will see it on a plane.
Yeah, it'll be, I'm sure it was on a plane.
I'm flying to Australia next week. So
I just got back.
Nice. Yeah. How was the shows?
It's amazing, amazing. Yeah. I love Australia.
It's great.
Australia's a great place.
Are you going to the main three, or are you going to Sydney?
We're going to Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, and Perth.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
You're hitting all of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we couldn't find a venue in Brisbane, mm-hmm. Which I wanted to do, but I've never been to Perth, so
yeah.
I'm pumped. We're staying by the beach. I'm going to surf.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun.
We played this place in Brisbane. It was like a hotel, and they had a theater next to it, like that was attached to the mm-hmm. hotel. So like if you're staying at the hotel, you go to next door and there's a theater, then there's like four different bars. It was like an interesting little setup there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Brisbane out of the three, I think you could skip that one. Melbourne and Sydney were way.
Melbourne and Sydney are awesome cities. I've always had fun in Adelaide too. And so, you know.
Yeah, you know, when we were there, we got to see the Opera House from afar. I'd actually like to go in and see it from the inside.
When I was there, so the last time when we were there to do the Comedy Film Nerds movie, you had to go back and I stayed.
Yeah.
When we watched Star Wars rather and didn't mm-hmm. we watched I stayed and I actually saw a show. I went to the Opera House and I was just like, what's playing? I don't care. And they're like, all we have is seats in the back. Don't care. It was awesome. It was some orchestra. It was just the acoustics are amazing. Wow. It is so awesome. And just see anything in there.
Right.
If you're ever back in Sydney. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic.
So and premiering this week, we have Dr. Sleep. This is the sequel to The Shining that I thought, I was like, this looks really weird. But at the same time, it's intriguing because it's like, looks like recreations of like scenes and shots from The Shining.
I heard the book is amazing. I heard that it's actually a really good book. So
I'm actually curious to see this. You know, as we all know, Stephen King adaptations are hit or miss. Mm-hmm. And mostly miss. But I think like something like this, it looks like there was definitely some attention to the source material, but not so much that it was a slave to it, which is always the death of Stephen King adaptations. So I'm curious to see this one for sure. It looks good.
It looks interesting. I mean, you are trying to make a sequel to a Stanley Kubrick.
I know.
Yeah. One of the best Stephen King interpretations by an amazing director.
Yes. Which he didn't like, by the way.
Yeah, he didn't like, but it's like, so I have a lot of reservations about this, but maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised.
That'd be great if it's...
Yeah, if it is. I would love it to be because, I mean, and the fact that it's based on source material, they're not just like, hey, let's do a sequel, like...
Uh-huh. Sarah Connor, can you do it too?
And Last Christmas, this is the romantic comedy that we saw that has a way too long trailer that showed us 3/4 of the film. So now I'm less inclined to see it because of your stupid trailer. Show me, you know, a 60-second trailer, set it up, and then let me enjoy the film.
I just want to know, Chris, did they learn the true meaning of Christmas?
Well, that might be the one part that we missed in the trailer. That's, you know, that's in the last 10 minutes of the film.
Just go to the movie to hear George Michael's music in a sound system. That's all.
Yeah.
Last
Christmas. Okay. That's all it is. Yeah.
Freedom. Mm-hmm. The whole soundtrack. I won't let you down. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then Honey Boy, this is the Shia LaBeouf movie.
It looks insane.
It does. You know what it feels like, though? It feels like a vanity project for an actor who doesn't deserve one.
I can't tell if it's going to be like a crazy Little Miss Sunshine, like in a good way.
Right.
Or you're going to have that reaction of like, why did Shia, what are you doing? I don't know, the trailer, it could be anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't know.
You're not
it's
sure,
so weird.
Which actually makes it a good trailer.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't commit that crime that we talk about so often of it telling us too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm surprised a lot of people don't even watch trailers anymore. I've almost kind of pushed against watching trailers nowadays.
How so? Just because
it seems like there's so many spoilers.
They ruin it.
Yeah, I agree.
They really have, and I don't know if that's, they've always done it. It doesn't seem like they've always done it.
No, it's a new thing.
Yeah.
You go back and watch old trailers of classic movies.
Right.
that are available. They're on YouTube, and no, they just give you just the right amount of tease to go, oh, that looks awesome.
Yeah, I want to go see this now. The next movie, Playing with Fire. Wow. We should have watched this trailer for sure. But this is the John Cena fireman movie where a bunch of kids come into their lives and turn things upside down.
Any comedy poster that has a guy folding his arms with like a wink, you know is going to be unfunny.
This movie was written by the WWE computer. And,
the WWE comedy algorithm.
Yes, just,
I was going to say, or was this a Beethoven sequel that got
Somebody found a Beethoven script and went, make it a firefighter.
Yeah. What wrestler's available? and Arctic Dogs, this is some weird knockoff kids movie by some studio you've never heard of.
Yeah, that's, it looks bad.
Well, you skipped Midway.
Oh, I did, yes.
So talking
there's
about,
a reason.
Well, yes, there's a reason. Michael Mann or whatever his name is.
Oh, no, this is an Emmerich.
Yeah, this is an Emmerich.
Oh, there are Roland Emmerich making a Midway movie. Mm-hmm. What did I just talk about?
Yeah.
Another biopic? Do we really need another World War II movie?
Yeah, and one of my favorite
parts... Jonas Brother?
Oh, yeah, there's
a Jonas Brother.
And it's also, it's like, well, we're just, you know, there was a battle somewhere in the Pacific. That's as historically accurate as we're going to get. Like, there's actually a scene where one of the fighter pilots is going, it's just a couple of fighters against the whole Japanese Navy? And I'm thinking... I don't think that's what happened at Midway.
No. Just more look how great America is from 70 years ago.
I'm pretty sure there were other people involved in Midway than a couple of fighter jets.
Dennis Quaid's in it, though.
Yeah, a couple of a couple of fighter planes. Yeah. Woody Harrelson's got a ton of people.
Woody Harrelson with a hairpiece.
Yeah, And then there's a ton of people.
I was literally like watching this, like, what?
This is the Michael Bay style of filmmaking where it's just show the explosions, show some dialogue, and we're
isn't
out.
Isn't this a Michael Bay? You sure this isn't a Michael Bay movie?
It is not. It's actually Emmerich.
When we saw the trailer, it had some of the exact shots from Pearl Harbor.
Literally.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They just found the old footage.
Yeah, they had the computer go over it again.
Yeah. Just change one of the islands to say Midway.
Look what just popped up.
That's great.
Playing with fire.
Oh, look who's in the firehouse this weekend.
Oh, it's a dog wearing it.
Oh, dogs are nuts.
Gosh.
Well, that's it, guys. That's 489.
That is.
Punch it. Lock it down.
So, Brian, let's talk about what you got coming up.
Well, I'm going to see Playing with Fire in IMAX.
Yeah.
Laser IMAX.
Midnight screening.
Red laser 3D.
Actually doing this show called Kill Tony that's blown up a lot. That's where we were just in Australia.
Nice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we were going to be in New York this weekend, but we're going to be going to Columbus, Ohio, Cleveland, Pittsburgh. We're going all over the town. It's selling out everywhere. It's awesome.
It's a great premise for a show.
Yeah. It really is. It's if you don't know the show, it's we pick out from names out of a bucket, a bunch of open micers, or new comics, and then they do only a minute in front of like a sold out show, and then me and Tony and a panel of guests, and we have a band and everything like that. We kind of help them out, roast them, and it's you're like you get thrown into an interview, into a podcast, and it's really fun. So check it out.
You did this at PodFest.
Yeah, we did.
You saw
did
somebody dressed as Iron Man.
Was that
stuff? Somebody dressed as Iron Man?
No, we got rid of that guy. now we have Jeremiah Watkins. He's the band leader, and every week he dresses up as a different character.
Nice.
And so the band has to whatever they're if they're playing firemen, they have to be firemen through the whole episode. So it's in character. So and we never know what they're doing. It's it's fun, but you can check it out at DeathSquad.tv. All the past episodes and our tour dates.
Awesome! Check that out. Yeah, it's a fun show. We had it at PodFest. It's a blast.
Yeah,
it's such a great interactive thing. See it on the road. Speaking of the road, I will be in Australia doing the Progressive Comedy Tour with Ron Placone. November 14th, we're in Melbourne. The 15th, Adelaide. The 17th, Sydney. And the 22nd, I will be in Perth. Any of those off days, I will be surfing. If you want to take me surfing, let me know. December 12th, we're doing the Comedy Film Nerds final episode at Dynasty Typewriter. We're doing Progressive Comedy Tour December 13th in Ventura, the 14th in Hollywood at the Sycamore, which is a blast. And then we have a bunch of 2020 tour dates we have just added. San Francisco, Tucson, Seattle, Portland. We just added Miami, Orlando. So go to grahamelwood.com for all your tour dates.
All right, and I am happy to announce, finally, we've launched the Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master Kickstarter for the graphic novel. It's going to be a 160-page graphic novel. We did kind of a soft launch over the last couple of days. It's there now. There's some amazing rewards. Because we have the publisher, Starburns Press, you can get a tour of the Starburns Industries offices, and you can see how they make Rick and Morty, and it's really cool. They've got some awesome stuff over there. You get a bunch of swag. You could be on the last Comedy Film Nerds show on December 12th. There's a couple of spots. And guess what? There's a tier where Graham Elwood will teach you something. You can go to Santa Monica, and Graham Elwood will teach you, give you a surfing lesson or a martial arts lesson, and take you to lunch. Awesome. That is an amazing tier.
How about that?
Thank you, Graham, for offering that up. And I will say this right now, the campaign and the soft launch, we're going to go digital only, but we've got some feedback from you guys that you really want a physical copy of the book. So within the next 24 hours or so, that tier will be up. I just have to add it and do all of the tweaks to the campaign. But we're really excited about this. The campaign will actually go to the last day of our studio show. It'll go to the 10th.
Nice.
So this is our last kind of a crowdfunding ask and hurrah. So we really could use your support. And if you just want digital, they're up now. But if you want physical, they will be up very shortly. I'm working on them just right now. But there's some really cool stuff. Rick Myers, our Kung Fu expert, who's a consultant on the book, he's offering in New York or Connecticut a Kung Fu seminar. He'll talk to you about movies and teach you some Kung Fu moves. And there's some great digital tiers where Starburns Press is offering the entire Starburns digital library for $100. You get everything, book that they've published. So check it out. You could get there from comedyfilmnerds.com, from my website, or just go to kickstarter.com and type in Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master, or any combination of a few of those words, it'll come up.
All right.
So thanks, guys. Really appreciate the support.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Brian Redman, for coming back to the show.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, everybody, at All Things Comedy World Headquarters. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.